Hello and welcome to Reflecting on the Resistance or Talking Back or whatever we're calling this. My name is Matt Connor and I'm the host of The Resistance.
And I am Jay Kirkpatrick and I am his sidekick and audio technician of The Resistance against The Resistance.
And now Jay's going to play. He loves this part. He gets to pick.
I get a pick. Matt rolls his eyes now because we've done it. Because we do these sessions, you know. We do a couple at a time and we split them up, you know. So sometimes he gets to hear so many of these good ones, he just doesn't even appreciate what I'm doing for him right now. Here we go. Tool Time Talk Back. You can be Tim Allen. I'll be Al. I'll let you do that. I don't know who the Heidi girl is. The Tool Time girl.
Today, my sawhorse will be making a carburetor. I have no idea what you said.
Give me that WD-40. My wrist hurts. I don't know. Never mind.
Hey, side note before we get started. I used to work in like an online internet service provider back in the internet's early days. And we had a guy call one time troubleshooting like tech support saying his internet was running slow. He had taken off like the case off of his like big tower gateway computer. And he said, I'm getting ready to spray it with some WD-40, but my wife said to call you guys first. And I think he was totally serious. I had to like mute my headset and get someone else to take the call because like he was just a farmer from Posey County, Indiana.
Oh my gosh.
Ready to spray down his computer with WD-40 because it was.
But you know, even if he would have, I mean, honestly, if he's spraying his computer down, the only thing that guy has is like an Encarta CD, an AOL, or Prodigy. He probably still has a Prodigy.net email address.
He's geocities.com.
Right. It's like, his pictures are loading at like one bit at a time. You know, he's like, check out this tractor, Betty. And it's just like loading, 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 loading.
It's a flashing under construction GIF. Like just, anyway. Hey, on this episode, we're reflecting back on our recent conversation with one of my personal longtime favorite singer-songwriters, Dennison Whitmer. And man, what a great episode this week. There's like three or four different ways I could kind of reflect like major points that I just thought were great. But one of the first things I love is I'm a father to a 5-year-old. Mm. Jay, you've got
three kids
yeah. And two very young ones.
Yes.
Including a newborn. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that Dennison opens up about is what does it mean to be creative or to be an artist and to have a family, and not only to have a family, but to have like family in the needy parts of being a family, like as in like kids who need that prime attention and sort of those, like they're not autonomous. Yeah. It'd be different if he had like two or three teenagers who were all like locked in their rooms making music of their own. But you know, it's another thing to have like a 2-year-old who just needs like to be put down for a nap or to have a baby that needs to be changed. And so what I loved about that was just the struggle that he opened up about saying, gosh, it's like the resistance can come in the form of just like the fact that other people need me and I can't just be like alone
What did he say? He said, I hate to say it, but you know, my kids aren't a resistance.
But they are kind of in a way. You don't want to vilify your children.
Yeah.
Because that just makes you like a horrible parent.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, there is, even though we have kids, we're still the same person who longs to make these other things besides kids. And what does it mean, when those are in conflict?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I learned a lot after my first one. My oldest one's 11 going on 12. You know, I was in a much different place, really young for, I guess, I'm 40 now. So I was 29. 11.
You have fuzzy math there, 40. Dude. Like, it's not that hard.
Muncie Community Schools, man. I was 11 years younger than but even then, you know, adult life is kind of, I feel like my parents they were much more established in reality than I was when they were 18 and I'm 29. You know, my mom had me when I was 19. My dad was 22 when, you know, and so, you know, for some, in some sense, you're just getting started and being taken maybe as not seriously, but as good enough to contribute in things that you dreamed about doing, I feel like. And for some people, it comes younger. But, you know, for me, it was later. You know, I got married. We were married for a short time, and we had him 29. And it was hard sometimes, you know, in the sleeplessness. And you're not able to go, you know, I play music, so I can't take as many gigs and leave my wife alone with the newborn baby. And, you know, or without some resentment building at some point, you know, and you're pretty new and you're making a lot less money. And so there's a sense that this little kid is stealing something from me. And I came to my senses pretty quickly of just looking at this little baby, just going, if I keep seeing it this way, I can't have resentment. This kid he's a gift. He's like, he didn't choose me, you know, he was given to me. And so it started to change. The more and more I saw that, I started to see him as able to teach me and develop and grow me in a way that I hadn't been grown up to that point. And in a sense, because he wasn't stealing, but he was making me come to grips with what was really important. And so, and he was his life and him, me helping to mold and create and form who he was started to become more beautiful to me every day, every, you know, year by year, day by day, week by week, whatever you want to say. And tapping into that actually helped me see many things that I couldn't even see through my parents' relationship with me, but my relationship with him, through him, me and him helped open up so many, so many ways and things within me that I didn't even know were there. If that makes any sense, how to love, how to have patience, how, you know, I love this kid regardless of what he's doing. I could look at my parents and, you know, talk about all the therapy I may have had to go through because of all the ways they screwed me up. But this kid is like, he's just, I love him. And I guess that's how, like, my parents tried to love me. They didn't, they felt the same thing about me. And so, I don't know, I get a little bit emotional thinking about it, but with what Dennison was talking about, like, his kids are the most creative thing he'll ever do. Yeah. And I think him saying that articulated something that I think maybe I did feel like they are, for me, I can't imagine life without them. I don't think artistically, musically, I would have, they have plumbed much more than any creative writing session or practice session or jam session or, you know, anything. They plumb much deeper than those things would ever plumb. And in doing so, they've, I guess, expanded, opened up, I guess, pulled back the veil in these, all the other areas of life, including creative, artistic, and I think him articulating that kind of, I listen to it over and over as I'm editing, and it never ceased to be less potent each time. I was just like, yeah. And it kind of actually, his language, I started using some of his language to articulate, even in conversation with, you know, about my kids or about life, you know, because I'm a pastor as well. So sometimes I talk to people about, you know, love and about relationships, and even I talk to people in day to day, and it feels like it's even found its way in there, the beauty and the artistic beauty of raising kids and how it's fulfilling. And if it's all I ever did, it would be an artistic and achievement that I should be really proud of.
I'm anxious to hear Dennison on this side. He's currently at work on a new record and that he, you know, he told us about, but I know that he, like being on the other side of having realized that about his kids, he put everything on hold and spent the better part of the last 5 or 6 years just attending to his family, attending to his carpentry craft, and letting the music kind of sit on the side until it came back around again. So that makes me very, very curious to hear, gosh, if I liked him before, what's it going to be like when he's had time to let these lessons sort of wash over him and like waves on a shore kind of thing? That's a long time to be steeped in another creative craft and to kind of be on the sidelines.
Yeah. I mean, and just to, he was talking about it and just to lay it, I mean, he laid it down. I mean, he had to relearn to play guitar, which I saw Dennison Whitmer. Oh, see, I'm from Muncie, Indiana, and it was probably mid-2000, so 2004-ish, 3-ish. He was
interested in Taylor University.
Taylor University, yeah. It was with a guy named Sufjan Stevens, and Sufjan Stevens had just, I think, coming out with Chicago, or Michigan.
Seven Swans?
Michigan. Okay. He'd just come out with Michigan, and it blew my mind. And so he came, Taylor University had him come, and was in the student center on a little stage. It was super cold. It was winter. He had a banjo. He was standing, Sufjan and Dennison were both playing on the stage that next to it, the door inside to come in. So every time the door would open, you know, Sufjan's banjo would go out of tune and he'd have to retune it. And it's only him and his banjo. And then Dennison was up there and it's freezing and Dennison's singing. And I'm like, you know, at the time I was just like, you know, Dennison sung a lot about heartbreak. And it was, he sung his songs that he sang then and hearing his songs now and then hearing him talk, you just realize, holy cow, that 6 years like reformed, like he had to reform the way he played guitar. He had to reform the way he sang. He had to like almost learn it all again. But those 6 years formed something in him. You played me originally when we were about to do the interview. You had just done it. You played me this song, and I listened to it multiple times. Just the way he was singing and the things he was singing about, something was plumbed in him. It was noticeably different than when back at Taylor. And being a father and hearing him talk and how it plumbed him and kind of maybe excavated some parts of him that weren't necessarily excavated. I guess it's almost, what is it, 2019? That was 15 years ago. It's I'm much more of a fan than I was then. After I heard him, I feel like I connected with him on a much, much deeper level.
Yeah. Well, if you love that song, we'll give you guys a chance to hear it too. The track is called Augustine, and it's the first fruits of Dennison Whitmer, a musician once again for the first time in over half a decade. So we'll serve that up to you and invite you to also check out more at DennisonWhitmer.com. If you haven't already listened to the episode, you can hear it as we dropped it earlier this week, and stay tuned for further episodes of The Resistance. Here's Augustine by Dennison Whitmer.
Lost inside your sister's dream. Then you told me about your childhood, and you took it out on me. But child, I'm not your father. I have no need to watch you bleed. Thank you.